Hello, welcome to Radio Gorgeous. This is Victoria Pearson. Today, my guest is one of the top UK female bass players, and she's also in the Ramonas. It's Victoria Smith. Victoria, welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Hi.
Now, how did your career as a bass guitarist begin?
My career? I suppose it was when I moved to Brighton, because I'm from the Midlands originally. I moved to Brighton about 15 years ago to study bass guitar. And I was planning on doing a degree, but got asked to join a band called McQueen, which was an all-girl rock band, and step in on bass for them. And so that was kind of it, really. I still haven't finished my degree, and I'm still on the road. So that's where it all started.
So would it have taken quite a while for you to sort of trade on the course? How do they work it? Does it take a year, a couple of years to do that?
Yeah, you can split it up. I mean, I only ended up doing a year of that course before I left. But obviously my aim was to be a live musician anyway, so I kind of got there before I kind of thought I would, I suppose. And it's just been quite, good ever since. I mean, it's obviously a lot of hard work, but I've played music from when I was really young. So I used to play piano when I was 8, and then I learned drums, and then I finally took up the bass guitar when I was 14, and then that was my instrument, really.
It's a lot easier, really, in a way, rather than doing the whole course just to be in another band and you're learning on the job, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think in this industry, you've got to be out there doing it, really. Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's good to study as well. You need to study to a certain degree, and it depends, obviously, what you're trying to do, whether you want to go into teaching, whether you want to go into sessioning or live or studio. So yeah, it just depends what you want to do, really. But a lot of it is experience. You have to just throw yourself in, which is kind of what I did. Mm. And you kind of learn a lot of the extra things aside of playing from literally doing it. You have to do it to know.
Because I think you do learn the most that you learn actually doing the gigs themselves, because it's not just about getting up and being a good guitarist. It's about dealing with the crowd, isn't it, as well? And
yeah, you have to get out there and do it. You can't really learn that sitting in a classroom, I wouldn't say, anyway. Yeah, you really need to experience it.
And you never really know what you're going to get, I suppose, from one gig to another. It could be quite a small, intimate one. It could be a great big one, as I've seen your pictures that you've played and all kinds of different reactions.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even on one Ramona's tour, for example, you can go from huge venues or festivals to really small, like, acoustic gigs we've done, and in-stores and things like that. So it all varies. And when you go from country to country as well, it's all different. So it's always learning, really.
And do you like one better than the other, or is it just all great?
I like to keep a mixture of things going on, really. Yeah. I think it's quite nice to be able to go from a huge festival and then do a really small local gig. I quite like that.
I think sometimes you can feel a bit more nervous about something if there's less people there, because you're sort of looking right into their eyeballs, aren't you?
Yeah, I do prefer the more intimate gigs for that kind of thing. Because I like, well, especially with the Ramones, we as a band, we like to be close to the audience for the interaction. Mm. You just feel a bit better when you're like near the audience rather than got security or like bollards in between you.
But the bigger ones are more lucrative, I suppose, and that sort of, it's all got something going for it, I guess.
Oh no, absolutely. It's all good.
It's all good stuff to do. Now, which musicians have influenced you most throughout your career, both male and female?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, in the early days of learning bass, I was really into Flea, especially because when I was a teenager, it was when kind of Californication had just come out, and those kind of albums, by the way. Yeah. And so, because they were out at the time, and I obviously went to see the bands live as well, that was quite a big influence. Mm. But, I mean, this is obviously quite obvious to say, but Dee Dee Ramone is a big influence for me for stuff that isn't just playing bass, because obviously he's a really good songwriter, and he really brought bass to the front, front of the stage, rather than just having to stand at the back, you know. And from the performance element of it, I've learnt a lot from him. I'd probably also say Suzi Quatro.
Yeah.
The only person who I really enjoy listening to solo on the bass. I'm not a big fan of that kind of thing, but I think she does it quite tastefully.
It's interesting because Suzi Quatro, she's one of the first people I remember as a female getting up there and just doing her own thing.
Absolutely,
I grew up in the 70s, so she'd sort of appear in various different things. I thought, can you do that? Can you get up there on your own as a a woman like that and just do what you like, because I hadn't seen it before. I don't think I was about 10.
Yeah, she's definitely one of the first, isn't she?
Yeah.
A lot of people know of, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Now, you're in the Ramonas, which is an all-girl tribute band. Why did you choose the Ramones to base your band around?
Well, me and the singer have been doing the Ramonas for about 10 years. There was a mutual friend of ours called Claire who originally started the idea a long time ago. It was a revolving lineup to start with, so it was never the same band for each gig, because there wasn't really many female musicians out there, and the really good ones, I guess, were, you know, in demand and busy doing other things. So it was a lot like that in the first days. I mean, the reason for doing the Ramones is because the Ramones are the best punk band, from the beginning, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the direct comparison for the British side is the Sex Pistols. I personally prefer the Ramones. Yeah. As controversial as that may sound, but they're my favourites.
Just something about them that just made you feel a certain feeling, and it just resonated with you.
Yeah, I just really like the rock and roll aspect of it, because there's a lot of that influence as well, and that's something I really like as well.
Have you ever met any of your rock and roll or punk heroes, and what was the experience like?
Unfortunately, not met any of the original Ramones, but we were lucky enough to play a gig with Richie Ramone, who was one of the Ramones' later drummers, which was really good. It was a bit embarrassing for me, because it was the one time I was ever late for a gig, because there was horrendous traffic getting to London, and I didn't miss the gig, I was just late for soundcheck, so that was really annoying and kind of embarrassing when you're meeting one of the Ramones.
Was he all right about it?
He was absolutely fine. Yeah. He was so laid back. Yeah, it's not a problem.
That's nice.
We've also actually supported CJ Ramone as well. That was really cool. But the punk scene's a bit like that, I would say. You do get to meet, I mean, not necessarily everyone's your hero, obviously, but a lot of the musicians that were around the first time around, you do just bump into them on the scene, because that's how it is. There's no hierarchy as such. It's just you kind of just bump into people. Really. So that's what I like about the punk scene.
It's nice, because if you meet people, you've always listened to their music and always enjoyed them, you're just like I thought you'd be. And it's really nice when you meet people, you find out that they are just as nice or interesting as you thought they would be, you know?
Well, that's one of the nicest things, because I guess before you meet people, or maybe think it's even possible to meet people, you kind of got this thing in your head of they're so far away, but actually, they're not really.
No.
This 6 degrees of separation thing, I think, is actually quite true. You're never really that far away from anyone, really.
You're only sort of one person away from all kinds of different people, aren't you? Who, for you, would be the definitive female rock artists, and how did their groundbreaking attitude influence your career? You've already mentioned Susie Quattro.
Susie's got to be up there. I mean, without being too stereotypical, people like Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Just being there at the front of it all, really.
Yeah.
And even people like, there's a bass player called Carol Kay, who you've ever heard of her or you haven't, and she will have played on all of the kind of Motown stuff, and you probably don't even know it, but such a good musician, and she was just there doing it. And I think that's the most important thing, that people are out there doing it, especially, women in the industry, because you need to, if you can't see it, you can't really be it. That's what I remember when I was learning. I thought, well, there's not really many people I can kind of look to, really. And that goes for famous people or people where you might just see bands down, your local pub or whatever. If you don't see them anywhere, you kind of don't really think you can do it necessarily. You don't know where to place yourself, I guess.
You need to have that person to look to, just kind of think, okay, that's me and that's what I'm going to kind of aim for. And then you end up developing your own style. You start off maybe by perhaps imitating somebody else on the early days, maybe playing Joan Jett songs or whatever, and then gradually you develop your own style, but you have to start somewhere to say, I want to be like that.
Exactly, definitely. Yeah.
The Ramones, as well as playing Ramones tracks, you also play original material, and the debut album is called First World Problems. What are your favourite tracks on that album and why?
We had to come up for a concept for the album, really, and that kind of, really summed up what we were writing about in all the individual songs. I mean, there's quite a few influences aside from obviously the Ramones on that album, I think you can tell even from the track First World Problems, is a lot of like grunge and rock influences, as well as a little bit of blues, and there's obviously still the punk element. There's a lot of other of our other influences as well. Favourite tracks is really hard. Some are like more fun to play live, some are nice to listen to. We've just done an acoustic album, so some, you know, strip differently to others, and yeah, it's really hard. I really like playing the 2016 track live. I think that one works really well, and First World Problems as well, because it really is something different for us. But no, it's I don't think I can actually pick one track. It's really hard.
I mean, for me, it's the First World Problems. The lyrics are, I don't like cheese, I'm down on my knees begging for peace. And you know, do we create problems that aren't there because we've got such an easy time over here?
The point in the track is to make us question that, and we're saying, oh, that's a first world problem, that's a first world problem, because yeah, there's so many that you just kind of let go. And the reason where that particular track started was, I think one day I woke up and I think I'd been thinking or talking about people who are fussy eaters,
yeah,
and I thought, really, what is the problem with this being a fussy eater? And I just thought, it's a first world problem. And then the list just came of these ridiculous things, yeah, that are first world problems. And yeah, they're so ridiculous. And yeah, it's tongue-in-cheek but serious at the same time, really, that song.
And it is, should I have the avocado? Should I be going vegan? Not going vegan? I don't know if I should be eating cheese or not.
Make you think, really, yeah. You've got problems, I've got problems, first world problems.
Do you attract, and what is the reaction to an all-female band, both with musicians and audiences?
I think this changes a lot depending on where you play. I mean,
yeah,
primarily when we started out, it was men in their kind of 50s. I think it's still primarily that age group, but we have a lot more younger people and a lot more women now at the gigs. And especially in Europe, that's where we started to notice how there was a lot more young people coming to the shows. So it's almost like punk may have missed a generation, and it's kind of like coming back round again now, and there's a lot more younger people into it, I think.
It's just not really a thing anymore, is it? I mean, perhaps in some circles it might be, as you say, an older generation might have a, a problem with it being all female band, or
we did think this. I mean, we've never really had a problem like that. We get the odd thing, but we were really prepared for a lot more. I mean, especially in terms of doing the original stuff, we thought, you know, people, that might be another reason people might you know, come back with negative comments, or the fact that we're all girls obviously is another one. But actually, I think because we're not a kind of sex sales band, if that makes sense.
That's right.
To anyone else that, you know, of any does anything differently, but we're not that kind of band. We are literally, we just, well, I guess we're like the Ramones. We're jeans and t-shirt, Converse, and we just rock out, and we just play our instruments, and we just do what we do. We don't, you know, we don't do it any other way. We're just quite simple like that. And I think that has earned us more respect, kind of, because we just do it. Because we recently supported the MATLAB in Manchester, and we know what their audience is like, and we were ready for abuse. We were ready for pints, you know, flung at us on stage, and we didn't get any. And we thought, we were really surprised, because we were expecting, you know, the opposite. So I think, yeah, that kind of sums it up, really. We've never really had any problems, you know, anyone being sexist or anything like that, really.
Come on, with a great attitude, and it's possibly partly that means that this, you're getting such a good reaction, because people think, right, they're here to rock, they're here to play, they know, you know, they know exactly what they're doing, away we go, you know?
Yeah, we're pretty down to earth about it all as well, and that's, we just, that we turn up, we play, and that's what we do, yeah. We've always made quite an effort to kind of interact with the crowds as well, as in after shows, and we're always, you know, always there talking to people afterwards and stuff like that. So there's quite a lot of interaction. So if people have got comments or anything and they want to talk to us, you know, they can easily do that as well. So we're not completely separate to our audience either.
And I think that's always a sign of a really good band, that we'll actually get in there with the audience in terms of having a chat with fans or before or after and that sort of thing. I think that all helps to create the atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what people kind of want these days as well.
And my favourite bands have always got a sort of two-way attitude. It's all of us, you know, it's the audience and the band. It's not us and them kind of thing.
Oh, definitely.
The combination of the two things are working together. Now, what is the Brighton music scene like, and are there any Brighton artists that you might like to work with?
I mean, the Brighton scene's very busy. There's always a lot going on, gigs, you know, every night of the week. The music colleges and universities down there as well. So there's a lot. I think you do find sometimes at some shows it's just full of other musicians watching at other bands. But I would say in terms of the punk scene, it's healthy. There's a lot of punk gigs going on in the area. So that's really good. There's not many cover bands. There's a lot of, you know, new music, which is obviously good. New band. My favourite new band actually is recently half moved out area, but they're called Grasshopper. They're a young band, kind of post punk. They were my favourite band lately. Say so check them out.
Are they an all female band, or are they a mixture? Or?
They've had a few lineup changes, but they do have a female drummer. They used to be half and half. I think it's female drummer now, and the bassist and the singer, guitarist, of brothers.
The Ramones have a new album coming out this month, which is called Acoustic Problems. Can you tell me about the process of creating the album, and what are your favourite tracks from it?
This kind of came about when we did an in-store about just over a year ago for our first album. And we'd done a few acoustic gigs as well around that time, and we thought, you know what, let's capture this. Let's get in the studio and capture what this is. And it was only really meant to be a small release, but it's turned into kind of an album now, because we couldn't decide on getting rid of any track. So it's actually 11 tracks now. At the same time, I also did some work with Charlie Harper on his acoustic album. I was just really inspired at kind of stripping everything down to acoustic and going back to that kind of rootsy sound. And I knew that some of the songs would work well acoustic, and we kind of wrote a few new ones that would work well. We literally went into the studio one day before a gig and just kind of laid it down live, and then did the overdubs for backing vocals and things. So it's kind of a live in the studio. It's not overproduced. It's pretty raw.
And is there any particular tracks that you like from it?
I quite like all the new tracks actually. So Called This, So Called That, which is again, it's another kind of one of those questioning tracks of, you know, why do we label things and should we label things and people how we do? And that's, you know, in that, with that mindset. So that, and it's, that's quite good. I've been playing that one live as well. And then there's a silly little track on there that I sing lead vocals on called From Belgium With Love, which is a little tale from the road. And we also got Charlie Harper in to do some harmonica on that as well, so it's something a little bit different.
What is the track Daily Fail about?
The Daily Fail.
Yeah, the Daily, is that the Daily Mail and the Daily Failure?
Yeah, 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 that's right, yeah. That's another one that kind of goes down quite well live. Yeah, it's just about people that just read headlines and assume things rather than looking into the facts.
And it's quite easy, I suppose, for some people to in the papers to twist things and...
Yes, to make it sound a certain way. And yeah, so if people do just take things on surface level, that's actually quite dangerous, really.
I mean, the comedian Peter Cook, he used to go out and buy the papers, and he used to buy all the papers. Everything was right-wing, everything was left-wing, and everything that was in between. He used to read all of them because he said that that was the only way he was going to find out what was really going on.
Well, he's right, because it's important to read what's going on, you know, not just from your own, what's going on with your own side and beliefs. It's, you've got to have a rounded view, otherwise how can you have a discussion with people?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the Daily Fail as a track is kind of quite a fun, tongue-in-cheek way of saying that, basically. Yeah, that you need to kind of delve in deeper and look at all sides.
Yeah, I went through a phase of buying all the papers at once and read them, but it got a bit too time-consuming.
Yeah.
What is the track Tearaway about?
That is about a friend of ours called Chris, who he just led quite a funny life at one point, so we kind of put it all into a song because it just made for funny reading. So it's all about one person. But
yeah,
it was just, yeah, we thought we were going to write a song for you, and it's just a really short little number for him.
Yeah. Just all about him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure some people might even be able to relate to it, but it's silly things about just eating ice cream every day and that kind of thing. Just different phases of his life. Just little things that we kind of find funny.
Tell me about the Ramonas Go Mental and your other plans for this year.
Yeah, so we've got quite a busy year ahead. We're starting our UK tour on this Thursday, the 7th of February. That starts in Leeds. And we don't end that till March the 17th, which is in Lewes, near Brighton. So we're going all over the UK. The tour is kind of... we're mixing it up a bit. We're doing half Ramones and half of our original material. Just bringing it all together, really, because this year is 10 years since me and Lisa kind of started doing the band properly. And so that just kind of marks that, really. It's kind of bringing it all together of where we're at. Because we've had such a positive response for the original stuff. Some people have said, oh, just do that, or, you know, you don't need to do the Ramones stuff anymore. And we don't really want to ditch the Ramones stuff at all. So we're kind of bringing it all together. Then we'll take that tour to Europe in April. And then we've got a few festivals over the summer, and then more dates later this year as well.
Fantastic. And what are the festivals you're doing? Do you know which ones they are?
We're doing, obviously, Rebellion again this year. Yeah. We'll be in a couple of sets there. And a festival in Yorkshire. Yeah. I think they've changed the name of it now. I can't quite remember the name they changed it to. That's in July, in Scarborough. I think it might be called Redcliffe Festival. I think that's what it changed the name to now.
Yeah.
So we'll be there as well. And a lot of other things kind of in the pipeline. We're going over to Germany as well in July for some shows. So yeah, lots coming up.
Brilliant. So Victoria, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been lovely to meet you and hear all about your music.
Great to chat. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And for more gorgeous interviews, go to radiogorgeous.com.